So hello and welcome to another episode of Inspired Good Fat Life. And we are very inspiring today. I will just say the energy in here just feels kind of like it's bouncing off the walls.
It does.
Right?
Yes, it does.
And it's not even from too much coffee. So that's kind of cool, right?
Tea.
Yeah, there you go. And I think it's just from all the cool stuff that's happening, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yeah. It's a new year, it's new stuff, it's new ideas, it's fresh, it feels good.
Well, and also, I want to share with you, I'm here with Carolyn LePan from Centauri, I want to put an R in there, Centauri CL, and that's Carolyn's nutrition company. She's a functional nutritionist.
Yes.
And she has helped me make some really, I feel like, the work we've done together this last couple of weeks, I've actually cracked the code on how I've been sabotaging myself my whole life. And that feels like really amazing, which I know is contributing to this energy that's just like bouncing me off the walls.
Yep. We'll get into it today. It's very powerful for sure.
It is very powerful. And so we will talk about it. And I just feel like, who knew? And there's been... And we will get into this. There's like bits of it all out there, but it's not like wrapped up into something simple that we can all do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's spoiler alert. So we're talking about blood sugar, right?
Right.
And so, there's a lot of little things that can add up to big things, right? It's not just one contributor. So finding the right, combination for the right person. We're all different. Everything I do is completely individualized and customized. So yeah, I'm so happy for you that you are getting benefits from this and what you've learned.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like where to even start. So let's start first with Good Fat Life magazine, goodfatlife.com. If you want to go to our website and check out our magazine, it's I love this issue. Carolyn has an amazing article in there that good fat is sexy, because it is. And if you read your article, you will find out why. And I will even say, as a sexy can mean lots of things, right?
Sure.
It can just be great energy can be sexy without being sexy.
Yeah. Mindset, confidence, all of that is sexy.
Yeah. Right. And it's not just about sex, right?
Right. It's just about the bedroom, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's vibrancy. So anyways, and what we're talking about today leads into an event that we've got coming up. I don't know, Johnny, can you get this? There we go. It's in here. It's More Wonder, Please. And it's Fall in Love with Yourself on February 10th from 10 to 4 at the Brighton Lighthouse in Brighton. One of the things that will be happening there, just one of many exciting, wonderful things, is Carolyn will be introducing Act 2 of her play about hormones. Do you have a title?
It's called Hormone Harmony.
Hormone Harmony. Okay.
So yeah, as you mentioned, so there was an Act 1 and we are back by popular demand. So Act 1 was literally like we had four actors and starting from, birth, hormones through teenage, menstrual cycle, all that stuff, kind of up until perimenopause. And so this on February 10th is picking up where we left off.
Right. So it's like perimenopause through
menopause. Yeah.
Through the end of our
right
days.
Yes.
On this planet. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And we are so excited because I can't believe how many things I learned in your play, Act 1, that I just didn't know. I really didn't know. And it's like, damn, it would have been so much easier to just know those things.
I have this conversation all the time. I literally had this conversation this morning with someone who, it was like, why not when we, why don't our doctors kind of mention things to us when we're younger girls, teenagers, or like this information is going to happen to half the population? Why is it, why
isn't it
more
right?
widely talked about? And yeah, I think just having the education, which was really helpful, you know, presenting it in a play is fun. It's comedic. It's, you know, you have people's attention. You have multiple characters up there. And there's always at least one of the characters that someone in the audience is like, wow, that's me. Like, nobody's said it before, but I can relate to that person. So it's just a way to really grab people's attention and educate them. And so they're not alone. And then we'll have, you know, tips and tricks of things that you can start doing today, like when they leave, for hormone harmony.
Hormone harmony. That's a great title. Balance. Hormone harmony. Because, and there's over, what'd you say, 200 hormones that we have in our body. But there's some really big character actors, and the way that they get along really has a direct impact on our mood and how we feel and how we look at the world in those moments.
Yeah. So there's the sex hormones, the big ones, the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Those are the big ones. And you have your metabolic hormones, which is insulin and things like that. So they all, I often describe it as literally a symphony. It's not just one thing has one job. They play off each other. They need each other. They balance each other. And that's part of perimenopause. Menopause is like when there's an imbalance because our body's changing, primarily because we're not going to be reproducing anymore. That starts to throw things off. And so it can start a cascade of things. So knowing kind of where your hormone levels are before that happens can be very helpful. And then just knowing some things that can be done through diet, lifestyle, you know, can also ease those transitions.
So we're now going to, I can't wait. I really can't wait. And also, I mean, I have children that are coming in and they have friends and actually lots of friends that are coming into those stages. And so I want them to know, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. I just want them to know. It's like, why didn't we know this stuff?
Yeah.
So that's kind of our mission, is to get that out there.
Right. It can be really difficult for some women, and you shouldn't be alone. So I'm hoping. You know, I love the idea of sharing this information with other women in the community. And so thank you for your support with that.
It's very cool. So now we're going to switch and talk about another hormone, insulin, right? So I have diabetes runs in my family, on both sides of my family. And so it's something I've always been, and my dad specialized in diabetes as a doctor. And so it's always been a topic. I mean, but I never really understood how it worked in my body until literally this month, right? It's kind of like I intellectually understood it, but I didn't physically understand it. And I always assumed that when I was feeling like hangry, that it was because of blood sugar. But what I'm finding, because with your support and help, I got a glucose monitor. So it's on my arm and my computer. I can just whack it anytime and it'll tell me what my blood sugar levels are, right? And so what I'm finding that when I'm feeling like maybe my blood sugar's low, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not high, but it's not low either. It's like right around 100, 105, which is a perfectly good range, right?
Right.
Anyways, but I've also been learning, I also learned by myself that when I ate a salad or greens for my first meal and then ate whatever the protein and fat, I mean, I always eat pretty clean. I'm not a junkie. Right. I don't eat junk food or a lot of sugar. But I also learned that my blood sugar wouldn't spike after a meal. It would go up, but it wouldn't spike.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there were some other things that I would drink, like these pops that they're like high fiber beverage, 35 calories. So not a lot of sugar, but I drink those and it just goes way up.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I was thinking that that was like a real treat.
Right.
So it's just, it's been fascinating. And since I've kind of, and we'll talk about kind of like the process to do, but I mean, I lost almost 10 pounds this month and I don't feel deprived at all. You can see, I've just got this energy that's got me bouncing off the walls. And I'm sleeping really well. And all this stuff has happened because of the order, maybe in the way that I'm eating.
Yes.
Right.
So much of.
And the apple cider vinegar.
Yes. So let's just start right there. It can, well, let me back up a second just to talk about insulin for a second. So it is a hormone that's produced in the pancreas. And it's released when there's sugar in our blood, which oftentimes comes from food, but not always. The idea is, okay, I notice some, you know, sugar in the blood, so I'm going to release it from the pancreas, go find it, and put it into your cells. So specifically your muscles, because that's our fuel. That's what we use to burn for energy. So if someone eats a lot of excess sugar, then what's happening there is your muscles can become overloaded. Like, okay, well, you know, Carolyn's just been sitting all day long. We're not burning this, so we're going to store it as glycogen, and that goes to the liver. So that can happen, like around certain organs, things like that. And then the next step is glycinate, and that can be stored like belly fat, things like that. So,
well, and that's what's been driving me. It's kind of like, if I have belly fat, something's not right in my body,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's just been, until that belly fat is gone,
right?
I'm out of balance in some way.
Yeah.
Or I'm sabotaging myself is the way I kind of felt.
And that increases insulin resistance, the presence of excess body fat. So body fat isn't just sitting there doing nothing. It's metabolically active. So that can be really detrimental if you have it. You know, visceral around organs, or subcutaneous is right under your skin. But anyway, that's something that you want to, obviously has health impacts. Okay. But getting back to your comments around just some behavior modifications that you did. So one simple trick is having vegetables first. And the reason for that is because the enzymes in the vegetables, the fiber in the vegetables, literally will coat your microbiome when you eat. So you want to have a healthy stomach, healthy microbiome. You want to have good levels of stomach acid. And so,
which is where the apple cider vinegar comes in, right?
Yep, exactly. So those two things makes your environment prime for digestion and optimal absorption. So by having vegetables first, so not even changing what you're eating, like literally you could eat the same stuff, but the order, having vegetables first. I kind of explain it like Spider-Man shooting a web, like just coating the stomach. So by doing that, those vegetables and fibrous enzymes and things, it reduces the amount of glucose that can then break through and get absorbed in your stomach. So if you're eating, you sit down at a restaurant and you eat, what do they do? They bring you bread.
Right. Yeah. They bring you a drink and bread, right? Or a beverage and bread, right?
Exactly.
Which is the worst thing you can do.
It is. It is. But it fills you up and it gets you out of there and, you know, stuff like that. So, so starting with vegetables will reduce the amount of glucose in your blood, for sure.
Okay. So the apple cider vinegar. So I take it 10, if I could take a tablespoon in some water, just drink it down quick, 10 minutes before I actually have my salad.
Okay.
Or broccoli or whatever I'm doing. But this is funny. To me, it's hysterical. But I always wanted a flask. I did. I always wanted a flask. But I just thought, no, that's just too much, right? And it's been a challenge with how to have apple cider vinegar with me when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading this book. It's the Glucose Goddess, I believe. She's hysterical.
Yeah,
I know.
She's great.
And there she said, get a flask to keep you, to carry your apple cider vinegar around. And it was just like, oh my gosh, there I have
There's
it,
your
right?
Permission.
There's my permission.
You can put it in your boot or whatever.
or wherever. But it's just so funny that when you start to, I guess what's making me happy in this sense is that, yeah, there's so many things. It was a problem. It's like how to get apple cider vinegar. So somebody you had recommend, no, wasn't you? I had gone to the health food store and asked about it. And they said, well, here's these tablets. You can take them. And I've just found that they're just not as effective. And plus, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
Apple cider vinegar is really cheap. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, it's so much is around our perspective on things. Right. So now I can have my flask and have that before, no matter where I am. I know I'm like covered. I know which one I want. I haven't gotten it yet, but I got to find it. But then eat the vegetables. It's easy to have a salad before you have a meal. Yep. And then I found even because I'm gluten free, but even restaurants that don't have a very good gluten free menu, they will have a vegetable or they will have a salad on the menu. Right.
Yep. And so, I tell people too, sometimes, you know, just order two sides of vegetables. I mean, people don't even think about that as an option. Like if you get two sides, make them both vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a mindset, but I find with the vinegar, it's because it's so vinegary or acidic, whatever. It really kind of cuts the desire for stuff like, you know, the high starchy stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't want it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure it's because of the chemical change.
Yeah. So you have, when you drink that, it does sort of cut the cravings right away. So, and what that could be is, you know, in our stomach, we have like 1,000 different types of microbes and bacteria and things like that. And those bacteria create cravings. So they want to be fed just like we want to be fed.
Okay.
So you can have bacteria that's like literally give me sugar right now. Like, you know, when you have, that's the difference between a craving and hunger. You know, craving is like that immediate, I need something right now. So apple cider vinegar, what it does is it just, again, you want to coat your stomach and keep that, membrane, that microbiome, that everything healthy and rich environment. And just to comment on the apple cider vinegar tablets, if someone has like esophageal issues, I would recommend the tablets. But otherwise, if you can do the straight up, you know, and when I say straight up, I mean mixed with water,
right,
but like
right.
The liquid form is really ideal. So by having that first, then it really is a reset of your brain of like, you know, okay, I don't need to have this piece of bread right this
now.
Second or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, it's just been fascinating. And then I also notice that I'm not hungry. Of course, I do intermittent fasting. I usually eat between noon and 8. Mm-hmm. So, but before I started doing the vinegar and eating in this order, at 8, I wasn't done eating.
Okay.
You know, because there must have been some of those things in my stomach saying, feed me popcorn or feed me something carby crunchy at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And that's all gone.
Yeah. And that's great because your insulin is lower at night. So by eating, again, the same food at 10 o'clock at night versus 10 in the morning, that 10 o'clock at night, you're going to have your chances of storing that as fat is like 70% higher.
Wow.
I mean, it's just your body is wanting to, your cortisol is lower, your insulin's lower, you're winding down, your serotonin's higher, your melatonin's higher, but in the mornings, your insulin is higher and ready for you to eat something. So then it can use it as fuel and you can get up and go and do, you know, your day.
And do your day. So very interesting, right? It's just fascinating. And I'm in awe of our bodies.
Me too.
And how our bodies work, right?
Yeah.
And also I find, like since having the monitor, I'm learning that I could do the same thing every day, but my results are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got, to your point, did you exercise? What's your exercise? What's your stress levels? How well did you sleep? All of that stuff.
Yep. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, how we sleep impacts our immune system, which impacts how well we absorb our food, what we do with it. So, yeah, that's all key. And those are all very highly hormone driven, all of those. So, again, it's playing off of each other. So walking after you eat helps reduce the spike of blood sugar.
Which is very simple, right? You just say, okay, I'm just going to go move for 10 minutes.
That's all it takes.
And it's just really kind of like just doing it, just mm-hmm. a way of being.
Yeah.
But I also noticed that I'm sleeping through the night. I used to wake up like 3 o'clock. I don't do that. I haven't done that, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that it's like it's all perfect, but I'm just noticing, because I'm keeping track of everything for my PhD data, but it's like, yeah, I'm not waking up. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I'll say that, I'll go for 5 days and not wake up, and then I'll wake up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's different? And maybe nothing's different, except to your point, the hormones were different on that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your body's adjusting to being more level throughout the day.
Mm,
so okay. you said you are maintaining around 105.
My average is today, my last week average was 101.
Okay.
For the average. So but when I started, it was like 109 for the average.
Okay.
So
okay.
Coming down.
So once people start making modifications during the day and we're not having those big spikes, then your body at night gets used to keeping a level blood sugar as well. So if you're spiking during the day every few hours, then at night your body's like, okay, what, I need to be on high alert. I need to have, you know, insulin in my blood, because what if there's an emergency? I need to get the sugar into the cells. Like it doesn't turn off like that. Mm. So now that you're more level during the day,
okay,
you're going to be more level at night. And just speaking of those crashes that people, you know, feel sometimes in the afternoon after eating like, you know, a heavy sandwich or something like that, it's really energy taxing to have a huge, you know, spike in your blood, because our blood, we're only supposed to have like a quarter of a teaspoon of blood in it. Otherwise, our body wants it in the cells. It doesn't want it floating around.
What, the insulin?
The sugar.
Oh, the sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're only supposed to have like a tiny, tiny bit.
In our whole body?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like a quarter of a teaspoon.
That's a tiny bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So something else that I wanted to be sure and mention is you said, because I'm like, my blood sugar's not spiking. I mean, it's not low when I'm feeling kind of like, that hangry kind of a feeling. And so you said, check your pulse, right? Mm-hmm. Your blood pressure. And so we have a blood pressure monitor. And so I checked that and it was fine. And then you said, how's your hydration? Are you drinking water? And it's like, busted, right? I don't know why drinking water is such a challenge, because water is amazing. There's nothing like it when you're thirsty, right?
Right.
So then it's like, okay, I need to be more mindful of drinking the water. I fill the pitcher up every morning, but I don't always, almost never do I finish it. And so that's kind of like, check that out. And so, yeah, when I drink more water, I feel more energetic. And so that's been a really interesting process.
Right. That's huge too. That impacts, literally everything in your body, that hydration level and that sodium balance and just the osmosis between the cells, making sure everything is osmotically balanced. But some people feel hungry and really they're thirsty. So that's an important point just to mention, is that don't use your meal time as your only time to hydrate. Like that should be whatever it takes. You know, if it's having a glass next to the sink in the kitchen, a glass next to the sink in the bathroom, a glass at your desk, like some people do that. And so whenever they leave their office and they go down to the kitchen, it's right there. There's a full glass of water right there already poured.
Already poured. Yeah. I saw this amazing thermos. I mean, like a water bottle, and it literally lights up. Uh-huh. Like it reminded me of that old thing on the Will Smith with, it was like, drink your water. It was, that might be going a little too far, but then again, might not, right? It's just getting your attention to remember to do it.
Yeah, Or set, you know, there's always, there's apps, obviously, reminders on your phone. Right. I mean, there's, yeah.
There's lots of ways to get that. But it was fascinating to be like, okay, your blood sugar's fine. You know, your blood sugar's fine. Your pulse is fine. You are dehydrated.
Yeah.
So, and it's so subtle, right?
Right.
And it's huge.
Yes.
So it's, well, so if somebody is wanting to, you know, where to start, where would you suggest that somebody who wants to see what they can do, how to manage their insulin better, what would you suggest? Mm-hmm.
So you can pick up monitors. You can get a monitor on Amazon. So that would be a finger prick, which you know, something that you can test your blood sugar and just sort of see what your range is. I can order CGMs, continuous glucose monitors. And so you wear it for 14 days and then you change it out. And there's an app on the phone that you can scan it just by touching, like you said. So, and the other thing too, I mean, you can go to your doctor and get that done through a blood test. You can look at a fasting glucose. You can start there. You can also look at A1C. So just to do a quick mention of A1C, so what that is when there's excess glucose in your blood, it attaches to proteins. So when they do a blood draw and look at the hemoglobin, which lasts about 90 days, an A1C is an average percentage of 3 months worth.
Okay.
So that typically I like to be around 5, maybe 5.3, 5.7 is the threshold. But yeah, you could... any one of those options you could do just to kind of check out and see where your blood sugar is, because it's something that you would want to address, you know, and things can be done through diet and lifestyle, as we've been talking about. So you don't want to wait until you have a type 2 diagnosis. And some people have a higher glucose number for years or decades. I mean, that, and so it's just being proactive and advocating for yourself. And even if it looks fine and within range, if it's running high, I would recommend picking up the Glucose Goddess book is amazing, or like I said, a monitor.
Okay. So one of the things that I had found is like my A1C runs around 5.6, 5.7, and it has for decades, to your point. And so my brain said, okay, I'm not jumping up, right? So this is who I am. This is where I am. But what I've learned is like, that's who I am. That's where I am. But because that's how I have behaved in the last decades, right? Yeah. It's not enough to push me over the edge, but it's also higher than it really should be for optimal, you know, balance and all of that and inflammation and that kind of stuff. So it was really eye-opening. It's like, oh my gosh, by just making these simple changes, adding vinegar, changing the order of how I eat, and then walking, you know, moving after I eat, just in, you know, literally 30 days, this much change has happened. And I haven't been perfect on it. I've been traveling. I've been doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah. But still, I can't wait to see what my A1C is. But I'm going to wait another month and just...
Sure.
Or maybe two.
Yeah. I firmly believe the body wants to balance. And if we just help it a little bit, it will heal, go in the direction of healing. So even those things that you mentioned, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, it can make, in combination, it's made really good.
Right. Right. Changes. And so, you know, my belly's getting smaller and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's, it doesn't feel, I don't feel like I'm, you know, like I'm deprived in any way.
Right.
Which is nice, right?
Right.
Because yeah. It's not like a diet, like, oh, you can't have this, because it's not that way at all.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, so if people wanted to find you, how would they find you?
They can go to my website, which is satoricl.com, S-A-T-O-R-I-C-L, or they could email me at carolyn@satoricl.com. I'm sure they could find me through you.
Yeah, right. Or Good Fat Life, right? Yes. You're in the magazine. And yes. So that said, I just have to take a moment. We've been talking about self-care, right, for the last half hour. One of my ways of taking care of myself is having Snedeker's cleaners clean my clothes. And so I literally put the bag out, a yellow bag out. I can do it on twice a week. They pick it up and then they bring my clothes back in a couple of days, or it could be same day, depending upon, you know, what the situation is, ready to go. And there's something really comforting about that. Just knowing that no matter what's happening, I'm always going to have the clothes that I want to wear right there. That gives me great comfort. And the other, there's other things about that is if I spill things, which I hate to say, but as you get older, you spill more, even though I don't want to admit it. It's true. And I know that they will always get spots out of my clothes because I love to buy good quality clothes. And then the other thing is that their process is actually sand. It's a sand base, which is insane in that sand, a liquid sand, can clean our clothes. And it's actually so good for the earth. It's even better than washing your clothes because it's not releasing those little microparticles. And so that's part of my self-care, and I'm so grateful that Synetocor's Cleaners is there to provide this amazing service. So that said.
Great. Yeah. Environmentally friendly. It's important.
It really is. And also, as a reminder to our community, is that we do have this amazing event coming up on February 10th at the Brighton Lighthouse in Brighton, Michigan. And it's like, we love the Bright House. This, it's like home sweet home, right?
It's magical.
It is magical. Great. So just the space sets the, I don't know, the energy for the event. And Carolyn will have her play around hormones, the world premiere of this act two, Hormones in Harmony. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And we have some real surprises around that one. And just the rest of the day will be, it's just kind of one thing after another of taking excellent self-care, and every single person that's going to be participating as a presenter and our little workshop, it's like, I'm like, why didn't I know this? Like, who knew? Why didn't I know this, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago? It would have changed my life.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of education, a lot of fun, a lot of takeaways.
Yeah, and we have great prizes and giveaways too. So everybody will be leaving with a wonderful luxury bag, you know, the opportunity to get some great gifts. So that's it, right? So go out, get your flask for your apple cider vinegar, and live your good family.